It would be better for recording at least, wouldn't it? Okay. Thank you, Corey. Good evening. I hope you are like I am. You're glad to be here tonight. I am thankful for your presence here tonight and for the singing and for the prayers that was said tonight. We're going to continue tonight our series of lessons about David. And if you remember, the reason we're doing these series of lessons is because David was referred to as a person after God's own heart. And when I think about that myself, I mean, truly that is a description that I would love to be able to be said of me when I'm gone from this earth. And when we look at David's life, he was a man that was full of prayer. And you can look at the Psalms, and although they were songs that you sing, really most of them, or a lot of them, when you really look at them, was actually a prayer just put to music, just put, you know, to a tune. But one thing that's interesting about David, as we're going to look at tonight, is that even though he was a person after God's own heart, he did have difficult times in his life. In chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, we read about David losing his way. You know, let us not forget about the difficult circumstances that David was in at this time. The king, Saul of Israel, is hunting David down. He's making every effort to kill him. We have read about how David is now in a cave with 300 fighting men, plus his family has joined him in this cave. We read about how he has took it upon him to protect the people from raiders and from thieves that are in the area. I want us to now look at 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. And just notice what David is thinking. It says, "And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." And so we see David is, he's gotten to the point now where he says, "I'm going to have to leave Israel. And I'm going to have to go and live with the Philistines, or else Saul is going to kill me." You know, when we think about David, we love thinking about those times, those victories over Goliath. You think about when they go out to battle and they come in and they are singing the songs about David, of how Saul killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. But we also need to remember David during those low points, during those times of when he sinned, during those times of where he was just so low, he started making bad decisions. I don't know that we can realize ourselves the despair that David might have felt at this time. You know, he had this king of Israel out to kill him. He had this group, this army and family that he felt responsible to take care of and to make sure that they was fed, to make sure they were safe. And so it seems that David just finally collapses under all of this pressure. Rather than talking to God, though, inquiring what he should do, David at this point listens to his own heart and simply consults himself. David figures that there's only going to be one way to get Saul to quit chasing him, and that's to move out of Israel completely. You know, it seems like he has forgotten the promises of God that had been given to him. He had forgotten how Samuel had anointed him to be king over Israel, had him, and how Samuel told him, "You're the Lord's choice." He forgot about Saul's own son, Jonathan, already giving him the priestly robe, showing that Jonathan recognized, You're going to be the next king over Israel. Yet all of these promises and assurances are erased from David's mind. And David is just totally worn out from having to escape from Saul. And all that he can focus on is his own thoughts and feelings. All he's worried about is, Saul is going to kill me if I do not do something. So, as we read in this verse, you know, he makes his mind up what he's going to do. And so he gathers up his family and his armies and he moves to the land of the Philistines. And even more than that, David comes to Achish, who is the king of Gath. Man, we find out that in David's wisdom, he is correct. In moving to the Philistines, we learn that Saul did give up on him when he finds out that David is in Gath. And so he no longer pursues David. You would think at this time, David now can enjoy some initial relief. He may be able to sleep with both eyes shut now. The family can unpack their belongings. And in fact, we learn that David has comfort for a while. There in 1 Samuel 27, in verse 7, it says, "Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months." And so this wasn't a time of where really he was fearful, but that he got to unpack stuff, you know. You might say that he got to really rest. But then on the other hand, he is still hiding in enemy territory. He's not in God's land anymore, but in the land of the Philistines. David has given up. David believes he is not going to be king. He believes Saul is going to kill him. And so God's promises are not going to come about. I think I'm going to stop right here for just a little while and talking about our text, talking about our story. Because I think this happens to us, doesn't it, sometimes? You know, sometimes we have these feelings of despair that overwhelm us. And we let go of the hope in God's Word and trust in ourselves. We no longer believe in the promises of God, and we turn to our own wisdom to get us through. And of course, oftentimes, the times we turn to ourselves end up in disaster. Satan wants us to cave in to our fears. Satan wants us to listen to ourselves and not put our trust in God any longer. And in our despair, we turn to enemy territory. And we plunge ourselves into the things that we think will fix our feelings of despair. We think that giving up on God will be the medicine that will cure what's ailing us. Now let's go back to our text as we continue on this story about David. In the story, as we are looking at it, since David is living there with the Philistines are still enemies of Israel. And so they continue attacking portions of Judah. And they are very successful in their attacks. And so what the king of Gath does is he asks David to join in with them and sending David to attack Judah or Israel. David here agrees to do that. But instead of attacking Israel, what he does do is he attacks the enemies of Israel instead. And to make sure that nothing gets back to the king of Gath, what they do is when they attack one of these other armies, they just totally wipe them out so that there will be no witnesses and nobody left to tell what really happened. And David continues this deception by telling Achish that he is still attacking the southern portions of Judah. And David did this for that year and 4 months that he was living with the Philistines. And so at this time, the king trusts David, figuring that the people of Israel now hate him because of these attacks. We see one thing good about David, at least at this point, is that he has not lost his moral compass completely. He still refuses to attack his own people and the people of God. Going down to chapter 29 now of 1 Samuel, the story continues, and what we are seeing is that the Philistines are gathered together for one great battle against the Israelites. And as the Philistines are preparing for battle, David and his soldiers come out and they line up with the Philistines. What David's plan is, we don't really know. I don't know, as I read it, that it ever really says. But as they line up, the other Philistine captains and other Philistine rulers look at this and they see David and they're fearful. Although Achish may trust him, they don't. And so they go to Achish and they tell him, "We do not want this person fighting with us." In 1 Samuel 29 and verse 8 is a very interesting verse. It says, "So David said to Achish, 'But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?'" You know, it seems at this point either one or two things. Either David either was willing at this time to go against Israel, or once again, he was just lying. He was lying to Achish to pretend to be willing to attack Israel. And the reason I say that is because, once again, David never would attack Israel before. I don't know why he would have changed his mind at this moment. But either way, what happens is the chief men there of the Philistines convinced Achish to tell David, "You just have him go back." And so David does. Him and his men just turn and they go back home. Now, we see David in a low spot, don't we? You might know the story of David and how this continues, you might not, but what's going to happen is things are even going to get worse for David. You see, when they get back home, when they get back to the city of Ziklag, they find something out. They find out that the Amalekites have overtaken the city. They've burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in the city. And this included David's wives. And if you remember from our last lesson, this included Abigail. If you remember in our last lesson, Abigail, once her husband, who was foolish, was killed, David took her as a wife and he truly loved her. And even all, her was taken by these Amalekites. And so we see right now, you know, when you think life couldn't get any worse, it's gotten worse. Well, it gets even a little bit more worse for David. There in 1 Samuel chapter 30, in the first part of verse 6, it says, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." As if it wasn't bad enough that they returned home and the city was burned, their wives and their children were taken. Now David has to fight this group of people that's wanting to stone him because he wasn't there to defend them. But this seems to be the moment, though, that David finally comes to his senses. After nearly a year and a half of living here with these Philistines, of going and looking at his own wisdom, he's finally hit rock bottom, as we might say. There in the last part of 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, it says, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." Reminds you of another story, doesn't it? Reminds you of maybe of the prodigal son, the lost son. When was it that he came to himself? Well, it wasn't until he had hit rock bottom, wasn't it? Not just when he'd gotten low, but when he got to what he thought was the very bottom. Well, that's what happened to David. And he finally comes to his senses. The light bulb comes on that it's time to put himself in the hands of the Lord. And so David goes to Abiathar the priest to inquire what the Lord needs him to do. And the Lord gives him some good advice. He says, "I tell you what, David, if you go and you pursue these Amalekites, I'm going to give them to you. And you're going to get back everything that they took from you." And so David attacks. God grants them the victory, and they are able to recover their families unharmed. David has finally come back to the Lord after a great detour. And victory comes now after David is seeking God's advice once again. And not only is he seeking his advice once again, he is ready now at this point to give him the glory. There in 1 Samuel verses 22 and 23, it says, "Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, 'Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart.' But David said, 'My brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troop that came against us.'" We see David now not only just inquiring of the Lord, but once again we see him worshiping God. We see him praising God and realizing it was God that could help them all along and could give them the victory. Now to end up the lesson tonight, I want us to look at three applications, three things I want you to take from this lesson tonight. First of all, I want you to realize that even a person after God's own heart hits life's lows. You know, all of us at some time in our lives are going to hit low points. We're going to go down into the valleys. But what decisions we will make while in the valley of distress is what matters. Will we rely upon ourselves, or are we going to rely upon God? Are we going to stop praying? Are we going to stop studying our Bibles to inquire what God wants us to do or what we should do? Or are we going to surrender to our fears? Are we going to just try to run away from our problems? One thing we do know is that giving up on God sure is not going to fix them. And we need to remember that we shouldn't forget God's promises to us. That as Christian things will work out. That God has promised not to forsake us. To remember that even if things are bad here on earth, we have eternal life that is promised to us. Reminding us that after all, in this life, you know, this comforts and stuff that we have really don't amount to a whole lot compared to that eternal life. I think another thing that we need to remember, we need to be quicker to pray. I saw this as a very important lesson from David's life, and I see this happening to me in my own life sometimes. That when these things, these fears, this despair comes upon me, so many times I'm so wrapped up in trying to figure out the answer, I forget to ask God about it. You know, for some reason, this ordeal was so great that David was not quick to turn to God for guidance. And we see it didn't turn out very well for him. And the longer we wait to turn to God and the longer we rely upon ourselves, the easier it's going to be to drift farther and farther away from God. Prayer helps us focus on the problem. And it helps us focus on our dependence on God for the solution. The third thing I want you to get out of this lesson, and that is, you're never too low to return to God. You know, for a year and 4 months, it seems that David is wandering through life in the wrong place, living in the land of the Philistines. He has stopped listening to God and he's made some bad decisions. But the opportunity to come back to God was always there for David. And it's always there for us. His decisions were never bad enough that he could not find strength in the Lord if he was willing to turn back to Him. And it does not matter how bad or the things that you have done in your life. It doesn't matter how bad your decisions have been. It doesn't matter how the amount of wickedness you have committed in your life. If you will change your heart and seek the will of the Lord, you can come back. And you can receive the promises of God by coming to Him in obedience. I'm sure you noticed the verse on the screen that I had up for the first part of the service. Acts 3 and verse 19. And I had the New King James version of that verse on the board. As we end the lesson, I want us to read Acts 3 verse 19 from the Bible in basic English this time. It says, "So then let your hearts be changed and be turned to God, so that your sins may be completely taken away and times of blessing may come from the Lord." Now when you think about promises that are given to you from God, can you think of one that is any greater than that one? And that's a promise to all of us. If we will turn our hearts to the Lord and we come to Him in obedience, our sins are completely taken away. And He comes and He abides with us then. And He gives us that strength that we need to carry on. In your life, can you say that you have done that? Can you say that you've had your sins forgiven? If not, why? That promise is as much to you as it is to anybody. Why won't you accept it tonight? Maybe you've done that and maybe you've been like David. Maybe because of despair, because of sorrows or something else that's happened in your life, you've went on your own judgment. You've drifted away from the Lord. Well, it's time to come back. Maybe it is that you just feel yourself growing weak. Maybe it's not that you've drifted away, but you feel yourself going in that direction. And you need strength just as David needed strength. Well, we as a church are here to pray with you and to help you and strengthen you. We as a church are here to help you in any way that we can. But the first thing that has to happen is you have to tell us your need. How can we help you? And if you are willing to do that tonight, we ask that you come forward and do just that as we stand and as we sing.